Thanks, Barney. So good to be with you tonight. I played a trick on my family coming in. We were here and reporting, and then I went back to the islands for 5 weeks and then have been back here now for about 2 weeks. And we did that because not good to leave the island churches too long alone without some encouragement and some help that way. And so I've been back about 2 weeks, and I took that 5 weeks to change my appearance so that when I came back, my family wouldn't recognize me. I lost 13 pounds. I grew a beard, a more full beard. I bought some sunglasses and a white shirt they'd never seen before and a white hat that I never wear. And the goal was to pass them in the airport while they were looking for me to walk right by them. And so the day came, and I went to the bathroom inside the airplane and got everything ready to go, and then walking out of the jetway, and I passed right by them, brethren. They didn't even recognize me. They were looking for me, and I walked right by them. I went around behind a concrete column. I said, okay, phase one done. And so they were seated over in an area. So I walked over to the area and sat down with them, looked at them, and then looked away and took a selfie with me and them in the background, you see. And so phase two, okay, they still didn't recognize me. I was really surprised now. And so then I went over, and Tammy was sitting here and Noah was sitting here, and I sat right next to Noah on the other side of him and sat down. And I'd look over at them and then look away, then look over at them. They'd look at me and I'd look away. And not until I was leaning forward with taking a picture just like this did Tammy look and say, Joey, is that you? Yeah. And so we had a little fun. We had a little fun with them. And sometimes when you're away from the family, you got to do things like that, right? Well, tonight I want to share with you something like that, something that things are not always what they seem. And brethren, we're going to go to the islands through a television set. You know, we have television in Palau. It's through TV that we learn all kinds of things. You learn of the different cultures and people in different places. We learn the news in Mongolia and how the election went in Timbuktu. You can learn anything through the TV. Well, so tonight we're going to go to Palau and Chuuk through a television set. In Palau and Chuuk, we do have TV. There's cable in Palau, and there's cable in Chuuk, but it's the old kind. We don't have the ability to pull the menu up on the screen and see what's on other channels. You just have to flip through the channels. Remember those days? So that's what they do in the islands, and that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do tonight. We're zooming in on Palau. And as we search for something to watch, we're going to look for something to watch on TV. And as we do so, we might see some commercials and things. And I wonder maybe if there'll be a spiritual application of those commercials. We'll see. But we're searching for something to watch. So let's see what we can find on television this evening. I don't want to watch these things, commercials. How about this? The Treat Channel. Now, who wouldn't want to watch that, right? Like Barney said, we've been in the islands for 11 years now. And brethren, it's home. We've become accustomed to life there. And it's different. The internet speed in the islands is like 20 years ago here in the U.S. We get 256K down in our internet connection. And that's not fast enough to watch a YouTube video, just so you know. So it's different, brethren, in a lot of ways, but it's home. And we feel more at home there than we do here in our home country. And that's weird to say, but my wife feels it, and I feel it, and my children feel it as well. So we don't really have plans to return to the U.S. The goal is to get the churches that we're working with, the one in Palau and the three in Chuuk, to where those churches can stand on their own. And until that goal is met, we don't have any thoughts to return. We want to stay until it's finished. Well, let's see what else we can find on TV tonight. Let's see, we don't want to watch any more commercials or fishing. Do you like to watch fishing on TV? I really don't. It's slow enough in person, but to watch it on TV is just very, very slow. So let's see what else we can find. The Palau Church of Christ Channel. Yes. You know, the Palau congregation has grown since we were with you last. We had one brother who was divisive, who left the church, and he tried to start his own congregation. He had a few baptisms, but it ended up that brother passed away, and we were able to study with some of those that he had studied with. And so you see, Nina does the Lord's Supper. Noah picks up trash every Sunday morning. And this is R.C., the brother who was baptized and we were able to bring over into the Palau Church of Christ. He's now a very faithful member, and he is being trained to lead the worship services and to take a leading role. About 3 weeks ago, he led his first opening prayer there at the Palau Church of Christ building, and so we were thankful for that. He lives an hour and a half north, or 45 minutes north in Babeldaob Island. It takes some time to pick him up for worship services, but he now has his own vehicle, so we don't have to do that anymore. Let me tell you about Mino and Cheryl. And Mino and Cheryl had left the church when I was with you last, and I'm happy to report that they are now back. We really believe in the importance of working with the members who have gone straight away. And Mino is one of our most talented speakers in the Palau Church of Christ. Among the island brethren, he's our best preacher. And so we're very glad to have that family back. This is Marissa. She's a Filipino sister. And in Palau, we have a population of 24,000 people. 3,000 of them are Filipinos. And so there's a significant Filipino population. Marissa was baptized in Palau about 5 years ago, and then she went back to the Philippines and has recently returned again to Palau. She had a job working as a cashier at a convenience store during the night shift, and there was a convenience store near hers that was robbed. Well, brethren, they don't have guns in Palau. Only the police officers have guns. And so what they do for their weapon of choice for doing any burglary is they carry machetes. Everybody has a machete because it's the islands, and they use those machetes to clear paths. And so even a 10-year-old boy will have a machete. And so that's what they do their robbing with. Well, she told her boss that I'm not comfortable working here alone at night, you know, people doing these robberies in town. And so what do I do if they come in here? And the boss did not give her a very good answer. He said, well, if they come in, put the money in the drawer, lock it, throw the key, and then run. Yeah. Not such good advice. Yeah. We said, Marissa, you take care of yourself first. Give them the money and then get out of there with all of your self intact, you know. And so she quit that job and has found another. It took her about 4 months to find another, and the whole church helping her to find another. We try to keep a real family atmosphere in the Palau congregation, and I'm happy to let you know that that is the case and continues to be the case. Marissa has brought Nimpa to us, another Filipino lady. We've gone through all of the Bible studies with Nimpa. In fact, 3 weeks ago, we had the last one with her, and really we're encouraging her to be baptized, and she's this close, brethren, this close. We pray that she'll go ahead and make that decision, but she said, Joey, let me think about it while you're gone, and then when you get back, we can talk again. So we're hopeful that Nimpa will put her Lord on in baptism as well. We have two newspapers in Palau, two. This is the whole country of newspaper here represented in these two newspapers. And so sometimes what we'll do is watch these newspapers for leads on Bible studies. You never know what you're going to find. There was a girl who was in some trouble in Palau, and my neighbor living across the street from me helped her out of that situation and got her delivered safely back home. And so I saw that in the newspaper, and I went to my neighbor, and I said, Mike, take me to this family. Introduce me. Take me to the family. So he did, and we went down and met with them, and we're visiting with them and talking with them, and hopefully that'll turn into a Bible study very soon. They are a typical Palauan family. It's a single mother with two children. One of the children is quite young, and they have a typical Palauan house. You remember in the description of Noah's Ark how it says that there was one window. And artists today, when they draw Noah's Ark, they include the window, and they include it all the way along the top of the ark, maybe one long window, so they have more air circulating, you know? That's the way the Palauan homes are. They're not a wealthy people. The average income in Palau is $8,000 per capita. And so that's not enough. You know, sometimes we think that foreign cultures, well, yes, they make less, but their costs are less, and so it balances out. It really doesn't balance out. They are poorer than we are, than the average. The two averages would not be the same. And so, even though they live on an island that is only 5 degrees off of the equator, where it's very, very humid and very, very hot year round, they don't have air conditioning because they can't afford the power bill. And so what they do instead is they have a window, kind of like Noah's Ark. And where the top of the wall meets the roof, there'll be a foot opening that goes all the way around the house, and it's just open air, maybe some screen to keep the rats out, but otherwise they want that breeze coming in, and that's a typical Palauan house. So we'll continue watching the newspapers for leads on Bible studies and keeping our eyes on those. I don't want to watch the menu channel or the weather channel. Here we go, the Chinese Channel. The Chinese have come into Palau in droves in the last year because there was a visa requirement that they had that lifted. It's gone now, and so they can just come in freely. Well, they've come in, brethren, with their money, and they've bought up everything, and we have Chinese-only, we have businesses that have Chinese-only signage on them, restaurants that are only in Chinese. And they don't have a large population in Palau, but it's growing. We had one of them coming to the worship services, and we were very excited about that. Started Bible studies with him. He had a basic understanding of English. His English was very weak. That's where his English was. And brethren, that's challenging because every business or every effort, something that we do, has its own set of words, and religion is the same way. And to someone who does not have a firm grasp on the English language, it's hard to describe what redemption means or what repentance means. And so we ran into that wall with him. What we did was got on the World Video Bible School website and downloaded some Bible studies for him and put them on DVD that are in his language. Well, we're hoping to make further inroads into the Chinese community there in Palau, but we do have that available for this big group coming in. I don't like to watch ice skating or archery. Here we are with the radio channel. Now, you may think that radio and TV don't mix very well, and you're right, they really don't. They're two different mediums. One is audio, and the other is audio and video, and so they're two different things. But we have been given the opportunity to have some free airtime on the radio station that you just saw on there because the owner of that radio station appreciated what we were doing in the community. The situation in Palau and really all of the islands is that there are foreigners. Most of the foreigners are not missionaries or church people. Most of them are there for money and are very self-serving. And so there's a distinction between the local people and the foreigners. And usually the foreigners kindly looked down on. And so, because they're self-serving. And so, brethren, we have worked to not let that be the case with us by being involved with the community and by serving our fellow man. In the islands, you have to be that way. There's no way to get along with the people without being that way. Think about the little towns in Alaska that prepare for winter, and they know when the snow comes in, the road is going to be closed. And so those townspeople, they depend on one another when the snow comes. That's the way the islands are. When you have a power outage, you can call on a neighboring county or a neighboring state for more power. Or when you have a water outage, you can do the same. LA gets its water from Colorado. Well, in the islands, when we run out of power, they just turn it off. And whenever we run out of water, well, that's just it. They turn on water rationing. And so earlier this year, that's exactly what happened. And we saw the water table go down very low, and they rationed the water. We had 2 hours of water per day for several weeks. And so that's the only water that we've got coming over the tap there, and that's to do all bathroom needs, all dishwashing, all bathing, cleaning. The hardest thing to get done in only 2 hours per day is the laundry. And so it's times like that when being a part of an island community is very important. And we've tried to do that. We hope that we have done that. And this radio station owner rewarded us with some free airtime, and I'd like to share with you one of the radio spots that we have there in Palau. So the Palauans also have legends, just like you and I have Paul Bunyan and the Lone Ranger. Well, they have their legends and stories and fables of how their island was formed and really things that they use to teach lessons to their children. And so we have taken 15 of those legends and written Bible stories associated with them. Let me share with you Palau Legends in the Legendary Bible, Bacau and Bingol. In the Palau legend of Bacau and Bingol, the warriors of Ngarilmungui raided the nearby village of Neralong. There was one man they wanted to capture more than any other, and so a special canoe was built that would carry 14 warriors and one prisoner. When it was finished, the men boarded the canoe and sailed through the night to Neralong. They silently crept through the village looking for the man, and found him sleeping alone in the village by. They gagged him, tied him up, and carried him quickly back to their canoe. They headed back home, planning to execute the man the next day before entering their village. Away they paddled, the same way they came, which was through a narrow passage in the mangroves. There was no moon that night, and the swamp was pitch black. Only a few stars gave the slightest amount of light. The warriors struggled to see their way through the mangroves. The man tied up in the bottom of the boat, had a unique perspective. He could just see the outline of the branches when they blocked the light of the dim stars. So being left alone in the boat, he was able to free his hands, and then he waited. And when the time was right, he silently reached up and pulled himself up onto a branch. The warriors didn't even realize he was gone. And as the boat returned to Nerlamangui, the sun began to dawn, and the warriors realized their trophy was gone. Well, back in Nerlong, the man reported all that had happened. And so they named that tree Bakau and Bengol, or the mangrove fighting tree. Well, there's some unique things that happen at night. It can be hard to see at night. Paul and Silas in Acts 17 were sent away by night to Berea so that those looking for them might not see them. In 1 Thessalonians 5:7, we read, "For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." Usually people are drunk in the night. When driving in the early morning hours, we have to be more cautious, watching for drunk drivers. Jesus said he'd return like a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." And like when a thief comes, it'll be a surprise. There won't be any signs or warnings, just, oh, he's here. It'll be a surprise. And two verses later, Paul tells us, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." We can look forward to the day of our Lord's return. We don't have to be anxious about it. When we love God and follow His Word, we can have confidence on that day. Isn't that good news? I'm Joey Treat with the Palau Church of Christ, learning from Palau legends and the legendary Bible. We're thankful for that airtime. Let's see what else is on TV tonight. Well, there's an aquarium channel. We'll skip past that. Or an infomercial. No, we don't want to watch that. Here we go. The Chuuk channel. All right, we'll travel from Palau and go over to the island of Chuuk. The Chuukese people are very poor people. Palau is very developed compared to Chuuk. But Palau is not nearly as developed as Guam or stepping up to Hawaii or stepping up to the U.S. mainland. And so Chuuk is very much like a third world kind of situation. You're seeing the three congregations that we have there now, and two of them have dedicated church buildings. One of them is meeting in a home. And brethren, the Chuukese people have hearts of gold. This is Urson. The Chuukese people have hearts of gold. If you work in Chuuk, you might make $1.50 an hour, maybe $2 an hour, which is not enough to buy rice for the family. The people of Chuuk drink a lot, and when they're drunk, then they're bad drunks, mean drunks. And so I go camping when I'm in Chuuk to save the work fund. There, see my tent right there. And brethren, I camp inside of a screened-in pavilion. It has to be that way because of those drunks just a little bit down the hill on the road right there. Well, one night I'm inside the tent, inside the screened-in pavilion, and I'm awakened by someone snoring, and they're snoring very close to me. You know? And so that's a little unnerving. I wake up, I'm looking outside the windows of the tent. Where is this fella or this person? And he's outside the building, but it's just the tent wall and a 4-inch concrete wall with a screen on the top of it, and then there he lays. So he's under the eave of the building, laying in the dirt, sleeping. So I realize what's happening and go back to sleep. The next day I use that. That's material right there. I'm going to use that with the brethren. So I said, don't go drinking. Don't go getting drunk doing those kinds of things. You don't know where you're going to sleep. You could sleep. You're going to fall asleep in the middle of the dirt somewhere outside some strange building. Don't go doing that. And so later that night, Urson comes down the mountain with a chair and a brother and sets it up outside the pavilion. And I said, Urson, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to sit here tonight so the drunks don't bother you. I said, oh, okay, thank you. But it's not necessary, Urson. You don't have to do that. Because I'm inside the pavilion, there's a door that locks, and I'm okay, so it's all right. So he picked up the chair, and he moved about 30 feet away and sat back down again. So I said, Urson, you really don't have to do that. The one who was sleeping outside the building was Anthony. It's a brother in Christ. It's this guy. Yeah, he came to me later that day, said, Joey, I'm struggling with drinking. It's got a hold on me, so what can we do? So here you had a case where there was a brother with a brother, protecting a brother from a brother. Yeah, that's right. So they have hearts of gold. They have hearts of gold, but sometimes some unique situations. One of the unique situations that we face in Chuuk is grape juice for the Lord's Supper. Grape juice for the Lord's Supper. The Chuukese don't have a lot of money, and so they only buy what they have to have. The stores only carry what people buy. They don't have enough money to buy 100% pure grape juice. The stores don't carry 100% pure grape juice. You can get grape drink, but it's mixed with apple juice and other things, and we can't use it for the Lord's Supper. And so we have worked on several different ways for them to be able to have grape juice. We've carried it in, but that's really very expensive. Can't do that. And we've also taken in the little cups that have the grape juice in the bottom, and you peel it away, it's got the cracker there. But that, again, it's already mixed with water, and so that's an expensive way. The most reliable way that we have to get grape juice in Palau, and what they usually do, is boil raisins and then squeeze them. And so that's how they can have grape juice in the islands. They rehydrate the raisin and then juice it. But there's another way, and that is we can get freeze-dried grape powder out of China. It's kind of like instant coffee. It's just the grape itself, and then when mixed with water, it's just 100% grape juice. And so the shipper changed the label because he was worried about what customs would do with grape powder and called it mulberry fruit extract, but this is grape powder, and the islanders love it. It's much easier than juicing a raisin. Go try to juice a raisin, brethren. It's a difficult thing to do. They just mush when you try to squeeze them. It's a mess, really. And so that's one of our challenges. In 2015, the summer of that year, we had a campaign in Chuuk and had 7 baptisms. We're very thankful for that. Really a great strengthening time for the church in Epinup, the third of the 3 that you saw on the video. And there, the brethren there are still meeting and faithful. And brethren, it's hard because we work with them and then we leave them for 2 months at a time, and I really worry about them. Are they going to keep meeting? Do they have the strength to do so, the commitment to do so? They're still going, and they existed before this campaign, but now they have more in their number and stronger, so we're thankful for that. We had a very bad situation occur in the first congregation that you saw in the video, the Miari Church of Christ, and that is we lost a brother there. His nickname is Frog. His name is Ben, but he passed away. He went fishing and didn't come home. It's difficult for me to describe to you how it can be dangerous to go fishing for them. But they're spear fishing. They're spear fishing on a shelf that may be only 10 feet deep. So it's a volcanic island, and then you've got the volcano there and the rock from it. And then underwater, there's like a lagoon. So where it stops, there's a shelf, and maybe only 10 feet deep as the tide is coming in and out. And in that area, then it drops off. And in that area, that's where the coral are. And, you know, that coral can be extremely sharp, can be razor sharp. And here they are fishing in this kind of an area, and the tide's coming in. And when there's a lot of structures and the tide's coming in, then the water can be moving really fast. We've seen water that's moving. Imagine where a river comes together and gets very narrow, and the water can just be very, very powerful. That's the way it can be amongst the coral there. And so we lost this good brother. He was the preacher for the church, and really a strong leader in the church. And I can't put into words to you what a loss it was for us. And that's not to mention his family had a wife and 3 young boys. And so the situation made us strengthen our efforts of evangelism up on top of that mountain in Miari. And also something interesting that happened is Pia followed an old Chuukese custom, not really old, but a modern Chuukese custom. These people believe that they're following the Old Testament. They think that they should be and that they are. And so it takes us, you know, 5-6 Bible studies, really in-depth Bible studies, to show them, first of all, that they're not following the Old Testament. They're not traveling to Jerusalem 3 times a year and many other things. That they're not, but then also that they shouldn't be. Well, part of their culture has become that they believe they're following the old law. And therefore, they have adopted the practice of when a husband dies, the wife will go and marry the brother of the husband. And that's exactly what Pia did. And what that meant for us was she left the church in Miari, took the boys with her, and moved to this man's home island, which was far out among the Chuukese Islands, and one that I really could not get to. The time commitment that it would take for me to get there and to get back was more than I could do on a trip. And so I lost Pia, and she was gone. But then about 3 weeks ago, when I was in Chuuk again, Pia had come back and had brought her new husband with her, Chester, Frog's brother. And we were able to have Bible studies with Chester in the same house where Frog and Pia used to live. So we're excited about that, even though we're sad at the loss of our brother. Well, let's see what else we can find on TV tonight. We've got the Shopping Channel or a fireplace show. Here we go. Moving Mountains TV. In Palau, because it's a developing country, we're able to have our own channel, just at a fraction of the cost of what could be done here. We could not do it here because of the cost associated with it, but there we're able to. And so 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we have our own broadcast. Now, brethren, it's small. It's just a little studio inside of one small bedroom in our home. And we have one wall painted one color and one wall painted another color and a black curtain on the other one. And so it's minimal, but we're able to film and to produce Bible shows and to get those on the air. And that's one of the things that we're doing in Palau. But you know, when it comes to a religious TV effort, the thing to ask is, are people watching it? Because let's face it, it's religious. Not many people want to watch religious TV. They have to be spiritually minded first, for the most part, to be interested in that kind of thing. So let me share with you some of the feedback that we've gotten this year alone with our channel. One person noticed that the picture was fuzzy, and then it got fixed. The cable company fixed a fuzzy picture issue and mentioned that to us. One lady was over at the house and knew about Moving Mountains, didn't know we did it. She said, "Oh, that's you?" And then another person noticed a channel was down and was back up. Every time there's a power outage, a channel goes down, and that's about once every 2 weeks. Two different groups came to us and said, "How do we set up a TV channel in Palau?" One man said, "I saw this on your island." Another asked when we show certain things on the channel. And another person said, "I saw you on TV." And then we had one family call. This was great. We had one family call, and they said, "We can't hear it." And I said, "What?" Called our house. He says, "I can't hear it." And we said, "What? The TV channel, we can't hear it." The video was on, but the audio was not working. When we had encoded the program, the audio didn't come through. So I went back and fixed it and turned it back on for them. And they called back and they said, "Thank you." They really wanted to see that show based on the visual that they could see. And brethren, that's encouraging to us. They really wanted to see what it was. How would you like to be able to call up NBC and say, "Hey, I missed the start of the program. Can you restart that for me?" Yeah. Well, that's almost what they did, and that's what you could do if you lived in Palau with Moving Mountains Television. Well, let's see what else people have said. One person was over at the house, and she said, "I recognize your back porch from the TV," because we've done some filming back there. The owner of that radio station really liked the Noah's Ark program. This was done by World Video Bible School. They went over to Europe and toured the replica that's there of Noah's Ark and put together 3 40-minute shows on the feasibility and practicality of Noah's Ark. They're marvelous programs. I hope you can watch it. I believe they're on YouTube, that you could just go home and freely watch it tonight. And this is the kind of thing that helped us to get the free airtime on there in Palau. One lady, in her own words, said that she thought what we were doing there was cool. So, brethren, you know what this tells us? People are watching the channel. People are watching the channel. They're watching shows like this, our show, Leaping in Faith. I'll tell you about more in a few minutes. And they're watching things like The Plan of Salvation through Searching for Truth, In Search of the Lord's Way with Phil Sanders, What Happened to the Dinosaurs with Apologetics Press. They're watching shows about lying, about raising children, about the death of Christ, even brotherhood debates where the subject matter is suitable for those outside the church. So that's what they're watching on Moving Mountains TV. And that brings up again this the general thought of, what about religious television? Well, we'll come to that in just a moment. Let's see what else we can find. We don't want to watch a business speculation show or a train show, so let's see. Here we are. This is Leaping in Faith. This is the program that we're producing. It takes some time, but brethren, we have vowed to make sure that it does not interfere with the rest of the mission work. The TV effort is one piece. It is just one of the outreach efforts that we're doing, and we keep it in restraints that way concerning the amount of time that it makes on the work. We're not TV people. We're missionaries, and this is a side item. And so we have this program, Leaping in Faith, and it gives us the opportunity to teach people there, and I want to tell you about it. Well, brethren, I'm sure it'll come as no surprise to you to say what we did a moment ago, and that is that people in the world generally don't want to watch religious television. Well, that's a problem, because that's what we're doing. And so let's look at my top 10 list of the most boring things to watch on TV. Now, there's a reason for doing this. In fact, you know what? We've already seen it. I have slipped these things in through the presentation in those commercials that we were talking about, what we did not want to watch. Well, brethren, look at these things. Do you want to watch any of these shows? Weather, shopping TV, business speculation show, bowling, infomercials, ice skating. I'm not a fan of watching car racing. Maybe you are, but I've just never gotten into it. And then maybe archery or a fishing program. The number one slot here may be something that you've never heard of before. It's called Norwegian Slow TV. This is a real channel in Norway. They put a camera in the cab of a locomotive and record a 9-hour train ride and play that in its entirety on the channel. And if you get bored with that, then there's a 3-hour aquarium show that follows, and then after that, a 3-hour fireplace program. So, brethren, these are some boring things, in my opinion, to watch on television. Now, the reason we're looking at this is this. For the person in the world, religious TV ranks somewhere on that list. Would it for you? What do you think are the most boring things to watch on TV? Because in the world, they would put religious TV somewhere on there. Well, brethren, that's a problem because that's what we're doing. I want them to watch religious TV. And so I want to share with you then, for the next few minutes, what it is that we've done to try to make Leaping in Faith a program that people in the world might actually watch. We know the brethren will watch it. We know it'll be encouraging. Brethren, we live in a mission point. We're trying to reach those who are outside the church. Our goal is to get people who are outside the church watching something like this. And so what we've done with Leaping in Faith is, number one, the most important thing to remember when it comes to a TV program is that it must teach the truth. That's the most important quality. Of all the things to think about and consider, it must teach the truth. And then secondly, brethren, it must teach the truth in love. It's got to have the right spirit about it in order for people to be able to watch the channel. And so that's the second most important thing, is that it's going to speak the truth in love. And then third, brethren, it's important to let the personality of the host, of the speaker, come through in the program. You know, that's how our late-night talk show hosts, that's how they make their living, is by letting their personality win over the audience. Well, we can apply that. We want the Word of God to win over the audience, but we can also make it more listenable by having some personality in the show. So we're doing that. And then fourthly, the principle is to keep it moving. Have you ever noticed how often your favorite TV show has a camera change or a scene change? Next time you're watching it, pay attention and see how often. For many of the shows, it's one every second. Every second. The amount of video editing that it takes to accomplish that is just incredible. And then the camera setup as well. Well, brethren, we can't do that just because of the time and the manpower. But what we can do is follow that principle of keeping it moving. And that's what we've done with Leaping in Faith. And so rather than having a preacher sitting in front of a fake plant with a bookcase, and that's okay, that's good, and talking to one camera for 20 minutes straight at a time, we're moving away from that and rather doing several smaller bits. Now, there's one theme to each show, like baptism or the Lord's Supper or the Old Testament, but it is broken up into smaller pieces. 20-second teaser, a one-minute title sequence, and then 3 minutes of teaching where I'm looking between two different cameras. And then we have what we call a one-minute talk with self. Brethren, there are two reasons for doing this, and what it is where I debate myself on the program. I don't have a co-host. I don't have anybody who can help me with it out there in the islands, and so I have to just use myself. And this is what you see mostly in the program. And then the next part is something like this. And so the guy in the lower left box is representing some kind of a worldview that is wrong. It's maybe popular, but it's wrong. And I think in this program, it's that he doesn't feel like he has to go to church on Sunday. He doesn't like getting all dressed up and going down there and sitting and being still for an hour and a half or however long it is. But rather, he feels like he can go out fishing in his boat and have some quiet time out there and be in God's creation. And he feels like he can commune better with God there than he can sitting inside the church building with all the people. And so then the guy in the top right, notice his box is just a little bit bigger. That implies that he's got the correct position, okay? That guy, he demonstrates from the scriptures, what it is that God wants and God's view of the matter, and then persuading the guy in the bottom left. And so this does a couple of things for us. Number one, it allows us to teach indirectly. Brethren, rather than pointing a finger at someone, whether it be with a finger or with our words, rather than saying, you're wrong, this enables us to look at this guy and say, he's wrong. He's wrong, but we can all follow the Bible together and be pleasing to God. And then secondly, brethren, it really fits with one of the island traits of the people, because they are an indirect people. If there's a problem in the family, and I'm talking about the extended family, maybe 20 or 30 people, if there's a problem in the family, then here's how they handle it. They'll call a family meeting, and one older man will say to another older man, maybe the young men have been acting up in town and embarrassing the family. One older man will say to the other older man, you know, this and this, and like this and like this, this is the way our family does it. And everybody knows the problem. Everybody knows who he's really talking to is the younger men, but he says it to the older men because it's culturally acceptable. This talk with self fits with that cultural point as well. And so that's something that we can use to break up the teaching, still on the subject, still on point, but make it more listenable for those who are outside the church. And then we have a one-minute time where it's amazing things from the Bible, another talk with self, more teaching, of course, that's the main part, and then I have a talk with Noah Treat in the lesson as well. The amazing things from the island is a one-minute clip, takes place outside of the studio, something outside. We got some breadfruit behind me there, the main food of Chuuk. And so it just helps to reaffirm that this is an island show, we are on your land, and this is something that is done on your island. And so that's the amazing things from the island. A side point on baptism, like, for example, where sprinkling came from. And then I have a talk with Noah Treat. Just another way to teach that breaks up the straight teaching that sometimes makes it hard to listen to. And so what I might do with Noah is talk about, like, does he need a tutor after school in math? You know, for the islanders, English is a second language. And you remember those words that are sometimes hard to define for people with English as a second language? Well, Galatians 3, 24 and 25. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we no longer need the tutor. So, well, what's a tutor? Well, I'd establish that with Noah Treat. You don't need a tutor. What is a tutor, Noah? And he tells us. And then we go straight back to the teaching, straight back to Galatians 3, 24 and 25. And finishing the teaching on the show. So, brethren, in other words, keeping it moving. Keeping it moving. These are the things that we've done to try to make leaping in faith more listenable for those who are outside the church. So, brethren, that's it. That's the work in Palau and the work in Chuuk and Moving Mountains Television and Leaping in Faith show. Well, we did find something to watch, didn't we? We searched and searched and we found it. So good, I feel fulfilled. You know, I love your bell. Yeah. Come in. Yes, that's exactly what we want them to do at the church, right? Come on in. So, brethren, the islanders are searching for something as well. We found something that we were searching for, and they're searching too. And you know what? The people here in Springfield are searching and all over the world, because anybody who doesn't have God is needing Him, right? And anybody who doesn't have Him really is searching for Him. Now, they may not know it and they may not realize it, but they are. And they need Him so desperately. Well, it's through efforts like these that we hope and we pray we can help to fulfill that need in them. And it may start with helping them to see that they have it, but then giving it to them piece by piece and little by little so that they might come and have their sins washed away in baptism. Thank you for your good attention this evening. We've got about 3 minutes left. Are there any questions that I can answer for you? While you think of one, I'll tell you some that others have asked. Sometimes people want to know what the main religions are, the main denominations are. They're in Palau and in Chuuk. Catholicism is number one. They came in the 1600s and really had a lot of their conversions. They lost a lot of priests doing it because the islanders were pretty rough people back then. But they did establish their churches, and so Catholicism is number one. I like that because, generally speaking, there are people who don't really have a firm grasp on the Bible. So I can go in and I can say, you know, we follow the Bible only. We don't have the words of the Pope being equal with the Bible. And here's the things that are being done that you don't find in the Bible. But here, look at this. Now, if we follow the Bible only, then we know we're going to be pleasing to God, right? And they're going to say right to that. So I like that. The number two most popular denomination in Palau is something that might surprise you, and that is Seventh-day Adventism. You know, brethren, Seventh-day Adventism has 9 extra books. Catholicism has the words of the Pope, and then Seventh-day Adventism has 9 extra books that they have. So again, we talk about following the Bible only. You know, that is a great hook that we have with people, and very, very few denominations can claim that. They may say it, but then they'll say it and say, oh yeah, well, here's our other book, and here's our catechism, here's our the other things that they have. And so our plea to follow the Bible only, some people will say, oh, that's as old as the Restoration Movement. Yeah, but you know what? It still works. It's still good. It's still very, very good, and it's still a plea that comes from God. Follow the Bible only. So let's use it. Any questions that you have? Yes. Yes, not big ones, but because we're foreigners, we're kindly second. We're second. And I have a friend who's a Palauan, and I know that the process, for example, of getting a business license takes 4, 5 or more days to get. And the Palauan friend of mine walked in there. He needed one for a business he was starting, and he had one within an hour and walked right back out, you know. And so the answer to your question is, as long as you're a nice foreigner and you're a good guy, then you'll not have any problems. But God forbid something should happen that you had shadows cast over your name, and maybe it wasn't even your fault. Maybe it was just something that weird that happened and it looked that way. Then you could have problems. But we have worked to get a good name and get a lot of friends who are Palauans to be behind us. So if anything did happen, we've got power to come in there that way. I'd love to tell you that government things are all going to work the way that they're supposed to, but the truth is, in Palau, it is absolutely who you know. It's who you know. Not what's right, but who you know. So, another question? Well, thank you for your good attention tonight. If you think of another question you want to ask, then we'll be happy to answer them out in the foyer.